910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. For the second time in 3 days, Palestinian health officials and witnesses say Israeli forces fired on people as they headed to an aid distribution site in Gaza. 27 people were killed in the most recent attack. Two people remain in critical condition in Boulder, Colorado after Sunday's firebomb attack. The suspect, a 45-year-old man named Mohammed Solomon, is now facing multiple charges, including attempted murder. ABC's Mola Lenghi is in Boulder.
Authorities say the suspect confessed, saying he had been planning this for a year, waiting until after his daughter graduated high school to conduct the attack. Authorities saying the suspect allegedly learned how to make them on YouTube, also finding a backpack weed sprayer filled with gasoline. Officials say he specifically targeted the Zionist group that had gathered in Boulder after learning about the group from an online search.
South Koreans voting in a snap election triggered by the ouster of their former president, Yoon Suk-yeol. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and Republicans in the state legislature continue to argue over who controls the federal funding distributed to the state during the COVID-19 pandemic. On Thursday, the State Senate Committee on Government Operations, Labor, and Economic Development held a public hearing over $171 million of interest that was generated by the pandemic relief funding. Republicans claim the money now belongs to the state and is under the legislature's control, while Governor Evers argues it is federal and under his control. Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson is calling for the state to lift its vaccine requirements for kids attending school or child care programs. During an event in Milwaukee last week, Senator Johnson said he believed some childhood illnesses like measles had been eradicated through better hygiene and sanitation, not just the vaccines. The comments also come as measles outbreaks pop up across the country, with over 1,000 confirmed cases in 31 states. Kids are required to receive the vaccine under state law to attend school or child care programs. The Washburn County Veterans Service Office is reminding area veterans and their dependents about the benefits they offer. The organization is offering transportation services to the VA Medical Center in Minneapolis, in addition to healthcare benefits, disability claims assistance, and burial services. Their local office is located on the first floor of the Washburn County Services Center building in Shell Lake, and area veterans are encouraged to contact them with any questions or to schedule an appointment to check their eligibility for those services. A Rice Lake man has been sentenced to 10 years in prison following his 17th operating while intoxicated offense. According to court documents, law enforcement authorities responded to reports of a pickup truck swerving across the road and nearly hitting other vehicles in September. After identifying 72-year-old Mark Johnson as the owner of the truck, officers went to his residence and conducted a preliminary breath test, which showed his blood alcohol content to be nearly double the legal limit. Johnson also had a BAC restriction of .02 based on his prior convictions. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers face the Reds again tonight at Great American Ballpark. The crew won their 8th game in a row last night, 3-2 over Cincinnati. A home run by Christian Yelich and good pitching from Aaron Savalier and the bullpen. Brewers manager Pat Murphy, who's been dealing with a bad head cold on this road trip.
No question. Savalier did, he responded very well after the first inning and made big pitches in the second inning and settled in the third, fourth, and fifth. And very important. And then our Rob Z continues to do the job, and Koenig, Uribe, and McGill, very good again.
NFL at the Packers OTAs, head coach Matt LaFleur says, take a close look at defensive end Edgerrin Cooper coming back in his second season, 10 pounds heavier.
He's certainly, his body looks different. I don't know if you guys could tell, but he's like 240 pounds right now, and I think there was a time when we came back last year where he was like 220.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely today. There could be some locally heavy rainfall amounts of a half inch or more. Our high in the low to mid 60s today. Tonight will drop into the mid 40s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch The Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Madison film critic Rob Thomas. Civic Media's David Grant reports on the circus parade in Baraboo, and paranormal investigator Todd Michaels joins the show to freak us out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. It's nice to have you here up north on this Tuesday morning, June 3rd, 2025. And still ahead in this hour, we're going to talk to Lincoln County dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser and Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association about June Dairy Month events. We'll also talk to Sheila about legislation that's being considered in Madison, or should be considered by some, and talking about the, what do they call them, wedding barns, basically these barns that have become social venues, and how they got the short end of the stick, shall we say, in a rewrite of liquor laws governing Wisconsin establishments, bars and restaurants, distilleries, brewers, distributors, things like that. And so we'll talk to Sheila a bit about that coming up this hour. In our next hour, we'll talk to Civic Media political editor Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area about stories in Wisconsin politics. And I'll have much more to say in just a couple of moments here about Congressman Derek Van Orden and his ongoing addiction to social media and the dangers that it holds for his own constituents. But first, it is time to take care of things in the Scani Summer Text to Win contest. It's done statewide across the network four times a day. You could win $100 cash. You could win a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets. Each entry puts you in the drawing for one of the grand prizes. That would be a Wisconsin Dells area vacation at the Ringling House Bed and Breakfast in Baraboo or the Door County White Lace Inn with a little gas money to get you there. Now, each time we do this, four times a day, there's a different keyword that you'll need to text to us through the Civic Media app before the end of the hour. So if you don't have the Civic Media app, fix that. You got to do that. Go get it at Apple, Google, wherever. Then get that app installed. Go to one of the stations on the app. You can look up all the stations. Go to any one of them. And then use the text button to send us the keyword. Here's the keyword for this hour, and the prize is $100. $100 cash if you text us the word WAVE, W-A-V-E, WAVE, for $100. Text that before the end of the hour. You'll be in the running for a drawing among this hour's statewide entrants for $100, but you'll also be in the running for one of those grand prizes as well. Complete rules and details over at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, right there on the homepage. Click through it to learn more. And again, you'll have more chances to play today, 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 4 p.m., different keywords each time. Text them in, spell them correctly. Again, this hour, it's WAVE, W-A-V-E, for $100, and you can be part of the Scani Summer Text to Win contest. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is off this morning, tells us a cold front is dragging across the state today, and it's bringing showers and storms that may turn strong to severe later today. And then once this all passes, comfortable and warm conditions will follow. Our state forecast goes like this: cloudy skies, showers and thunderstorms, though folks in southeast Wisconsin may not see this until this evening. Across northwestern Wisconsin, temperatures will be falling today into the mid-50s. And down in the southeastern part of the state, temps could hit the upper 80s and a southwest wind at 15 to 25 miles an hour. That wind will shift to the northwest as the front moves through and the rain makes its way out of the state. Lows tonight in the low 50s. Additionally, a big chunk of western Wisconsin is under an air quality alert for all that Canadian wildfire smoke, but do not be surprised if that area expands, because while the front is bringing rain, it's also dragging the smoke along with it as well. So, again, you'll want to take good care if you have any respiratory issues or just want to stay out of it, because it's just so thick and soupy and yucky and just not a great time for outdoor activity. Rob from Tigerton says, good morning. It's partly cloudy and 70. I did my Wittenberg mowing jobs yesterday, then today to beat the thunderstorms this afternoon. We really do need a good soaking rain, he says. Yesterday, I also mowed the yard of the country school where my dad and his siblings went to school. After my Wittenberg jobs, I tried to get some lawns mowed this morning before the rain comes. And we were talking earlier about testing tornado sirens, and he says Tigerton tests their tornado sirens at 11:15 every Wednesday. So again, Rob, thanks as always for the notes. You can send your notes as well. We were talking about June Dairy Month breakfasts. Alicia writes in on YouTube, yay, Dairy Month. I get to go to another breakfast on the farm this Sunday, this time in Outagamie County. And there are just so many great dairy breakfasts. And again, we're going to learn much more about them from Hans and Sheila coming up in just a little bit. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. Love having this partnership every weekday morning from 6 to 9. But at Up North News, the Wisconsin outlet for Courier Newsroom, you can also get our newsletters. We now have three of them. We have a weekday daily newsletter. We have a Sunday morning politics newsletter that I put together. And as Christina Laurie told us in just the last hour, her monthly sports letter is now moving to a weekly sports newsletter about some of the good stories and the good people that help make up our Wisconsin sports from all the teams, college, pro, and otherwise. So you can sign up for any of those three newsletters, hopefully all of them. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the banner on top of our homepage. In today's newsletter from Christina, it starts with a little note about a pledge drive, because at Up North News, we do that. We do a pledge drive every quarter or so and show our appreciation for all the folks who chip in a couple of bucks. You know, our newsletter does not have a subscription. It doesn't have a paywall. Our website will never have a paywall, but we always need a little bit of help to cover the news that we do and appreciate your support. The newsletter also includes stories about where to get some of the best brats in Wisconsin and some of the best bike trails in Wisconsin. And there's a letter to the editor in today's newsletter. It goes like this. John Skaug lives in Osseo and is a retired scientist, avid gardener, and outdoorsman who is passionate about the transition to a clean energy economy so his grandchildren's quality of life will be better than his. And so let me read a little bit from that editorial. He says, as a teenager in the early 1970s, I recall listening to evening news broadcasts that featured smog reports and stories about nearby lakes and streams, which pollution had rendered unfit for wildlife and for humans. Responding to the urgency at that time, members of Congress from both sides of the aisle passed the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act, created the Environmental Protection Agency, and began 50 years of progress. These laws and the regulations that came with them required the cleanup of industrial processes, reduced auto emissions, and more energy efficiency. Our natural resources, our environment today is better because of it. President Trump, he goes on to say, has never supported policies related to environmental stewardship, let alone climate change. His actions since taking office were expected, but not at the speed and scale that we are seeing. And again, you can get that full letter to the editor in today's newsletter, or head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Okay, I have asked this question on the program before, and I'm going to keep asking this question. I'm going to keep asking this question until we get a satisfactory answer. Does anyone else have control over Congressman Derek Van Orden's social media passwords besides him? It's not that he's insulting me in the comment section, though I couldn't help but notice he did it yesterday when we called him out again for gaslighting his constituents about the current budget bill. That's no big deal to me. But the notion that a member of Congress can spend so much time online just hurling insults and criticizing his constituents or worse indicates to me he either doesn't have much to do or he just doesn't want to do any actual work. Besides taking issue with something I said yesterday was especially noteworthy for the latest of his many attempts at doxing or at least facilitating the effort to have someone harassed or fired merely for criticizing their congressman. The latest case dealt with his comeback to a comment on one of his pages. That's just something he likes to do. He likes to get into the comment section and lash out at folks. Recently, a woman from Stevens Point put a sarcastic comment under one of his posts. Which, by the way, Congressman, that comes with the territory. Put on your big boy pants and absorb a few hits in the comment section. But no, Van Orden had to go in and respond with a screenshot of her current employment, and then went and made a new post of his own, including her employment picture, saying, quote, "Another reason to be very suspicious of university professors. The vast majority of academia are left-wing activists that are indoctrinating our children, not educating them. This appears to be one of them." Something to note here. If you click on this woman's Facebook page where she made the comment, there is no employment listed. So, assuming she didn't change that recently, it means Congressman Van Orden had to take the time to look up a constituent of his. Online stalking, basically, for a man in his position. So that he could name and shame her for taking the time to put up a critical comment to one of his posts on social media. That's a congressman doing these things. So, I went back again this morning. I haven't done this for a while. But I counted yet again to get a sense of the volume of his Twitter addiction. In the past 24 hours, Derek Van Orden has posted 45 times at all times of day. Our congressman has an addiction issue. Oh, wait, there's more. Overnight, Congressman Van Orden retweeted a conservative commentator's post alleging that some U.S. senators had financial ties to a shell company that got military contracts tied to the war in Ukraine. That original information that he was quoting was from a satire account. It had already been fact-checked as such a month ago. And Van Orden is still reposting false information with a little affirmation attached. That was just one of the 45 posts he made since 9 a.m. yesterday. That's our congressman in action, or maybe congressman in action, two words rather than three. Let's check some sports at 7:18. Roger and Stevens Point mentioned yesterday in the comment section, you know, the things you should use a comment section for, what a great job Christian Yelich had been doing and that he should be the National League Player of the Week. Roger was right. Christian Yelich was named National League Player of the Week yesterday. I was concerned he would not be in the lineup because he got hit in the hand with a pitch while at bat on Sunday, but Yelich was in the lineup. And in the third inning, he hit his fourth home run in six games, and the Milwaukee Brewers extended their winning streak to eight games, beating the Cincinnati Reds 3-2 on Monday night. It's the Brewers' longest winning streak now since running off nine straight in August of 2023. Aaron Civale picked up his first win of the season pitching for the Brewers. The next game of the series is this evening, and it will again start with a pregame at 5:35 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward. And then game three tomorrow is a matinee affair, pregame starting at 11:05 tomorrow morning. And then the Brewers are off Thursday before coming home for a long homestand, starting with a weekend series against the San Diego Padres. Still ahead, we'll be talking to Hans Breitenmoser and Sheila Everhart about June Dairy Month activities. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. And one more reminder that our text to win word, keyword this hour, is WAVE, W-A-V-E, for $100. Text it in.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
So I did mention that we do a Sunday morning politics newsletter, and I didn't have time to tease Christina Laurie about her news about her newsletter, her sports newsletter, which has been so well received that instead of a monthly, she's going to make that a weekly newsletter as well. And that they were still kicking around the name Parker. I know you heard that as well. It's tough to name a product sometimes, and you want to get it right, or maybe it's a tagline that you're coming up with or something like that. And I forgot to tell her what we went through naming the Sunday newsletter, the politics newsletter here, which of course had the generic name Up North News Politics Edition. A real barn burner there, don't you?
Oh yeah, yeah. That really is a good hook.
So we thought, well, let's put a little thought into this. And so she's talking about having trouble coming up with a name for the sports newsletter, and we kind of struggled for a bit. And then you ever get that moment where the light bulb goes off and you just go, what took so long to come up with that?
Oh yeah.
Because we just, you know, in the past few weeks, renamed the show from Up North News Radio to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. A lot of work went into that until I finally realized we could call the newsletter Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
There you go.
So that's, hey, you know? So Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow is the name of the newsletter, and we're glad to have everybody on board who is a subscriber in some way, shape, or form. And that includes a question of the week that we do, and I wanted to share this week's question and some of the responses that have come in so far. And it dealt with who we had for guests last week, part of a coalition of progressive groups, saying that, now, the state budget bill is still far from done. And in the previous three of these budget bills, these two-year budget cycles. In the previous three bills that Governor Evers has had to face, he has addressed what the Republican legislature has sent him using partial vetoes to try to move some money or say, nope, we're not going to do this or we're going to modify that. Well, this coalition of groups is saying that that just isn't good enough. That's not making the investments that a state budget should make in the education of our children, in health care, things like prison reform and so on. And they wanted to make the case to Governor Evers that if this next budget doesn't rise to a certain threshold of support, he shouldn't try to fix it with partial vetoes. He should just veto it. Just veto the bill, all for good, and make the legislature start over. Not everybody agrees with that necessarily, so we thought we'd put it up as our question of the week and say, which statement is closest to your thinking? Either A, the status quo, I favor the use of partial vetoes and the governor should make whatever adjustments he can, or B, Evers should veto the whole bill if it falls short of adequately using our tax dollars. And I did put in an option C for our Republican readers. Just sign it. Whatever Republicans pass will be better than anything that Governor Evers proposed. So there you go, A, B, and C. So I thought I would give you the first examples that have come in through emails as a response to Sunday morning's newsletter, which again is called Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. From Sue, she favors the partial veto, saying perhaps there would be a good faith effort to work together and make concessions on both sides. Nancy says partial veto. Let's start using the surplus effectively to help schools and caregivers and tax cuts. But Tony writes, the scorched earth practices of the GOP must be met with the same hard line. They have no interest in compromise and need to be shown for what they are. And so Tony favors just a veto of the whole bill. Same goes for Dale in Merrimack, where he says, usually I'm in favor of a partial veto, but this time veto the whole bill. We need to let Wisconsinites know how bad the GOP effort was and really hit the public with what it could have done to Wisconsin, while a partial veto allows the GOP to claim some victories. And that actually is part of the crux of the current impasse on the budget, is using the partial veto to claim some victories. Governor Evers proposed a middle-class tax cut last time around. Republicans passed tax cuts that were weighted toward the more wealthy income brackets. The governor used his partial veto powers to remove some of the favors at the very top and still keep some tax cuts that would impact the middle class, and took some credit for that, saying that here's a budget that he signed that included income tax cuts. Oh, Republicans howled. They howled, saying this was their budget, their tax cut. How dare he take credit for it? How dare he seek the win-win? You know, where Democrats and Republicans work together to get things done. And Republicans hated that Governor Evers, who wanted a middle-class tax cut, would take some credit for the Republican one that he had to first fix so that it was more of a middle-class tax cut and not another giveaway to the highest income brackets. So now they've been demanding that any kind of tax cut be addressed first before anything else in the rest of the budget, because they want to make sure that they get all the credit that they deserve for any kind of tax cut that is ultimately passed, which, again, it seems to be the phrase that we're using most this morning. Put on your big boy pants. Work together. Come to the negotiating table. And that's what they've been doing. They've had two or three meetings over the past week. Hopefully those talks are going to continue. Because, again, with a multi-billion dollar surplus, there's room for win-wins in all of these, for tax cuts and for education and for the environment and everything else. Alicia writes on YouTube, after hearing these opinions, I'm leaning toward a more complete veto. The one downside on that is it would make the legislature start over, and state government doesn't shut down. So if there's a full veto, Republicans could also say, well, we just won't pass anything and we'll continue at the same spending levels as the past couple of years. And so nothing gets worse, but nothing gets better either. It's a fair debate to have, and we appreciate your opinions on it to our newsletter or right here on the radio as part of your mornings here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Sheila Everhart and Hans Breitenmoser are next.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It up. That is the theme driving thousands of Wisconsin State FFA members as they get ready for the state convention next week. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. And that energy is contagious. Jesse Thompson, president of the Wisconsin State FFA Association, says by seeing the success other FFA members are having, it bolsters FFA activities overall.
I was always taught success breeds success. And I think that FFA is an organization that's highlighting other FFA members for, you know, their accomplishments and really giving students a place to flourish. And when students see that, they want to get involved. And I think that it's just proves that students are really excited about what's going on in our organization. And there are many things that contribute to that. But I always like to reflect back on that success breeds success.
Jesse Thompson, he is the current president of the Wisconsin State FFA Association. The convention returns to the Alliant Energy Center next week, June 9th through the 12th, kicking off activities with their Day of Service. 12 different service sites around the Dane County area where FFA members will pitch in and help their neighbors.
The Classic Green Reunion comes to Wisconsin June 12th through the 14th in West Bend. This year's event showcases Model B and industrial tractors, Waterloo Boy engines, and even drills. Come for the tractors and equipment and stay for the tours, vendors, camaraderie, and a good old-fashioned Wisconsin fish fry. To see event details or to register for tours, visit classicgreen.org. The Classic Green Reunion, June 12th through the 14th in West Bend. See you there.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
And weather around Wisconsin's helped our crops flourish. According to the update from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service, as of Sunday, 93% of Wisconsin's corn crop was planted and 70% was rated good to excellent. 90% of our soybeans are in the ground, 80% of that crop rated good to excellent. Also, 85% of our oats rated good to excellent. Pasture conditions a little iffy depending on where you are. 72% of our pastures rated good to excellent as of Sunday. And our potato producers just keep rolling. 92% of our spuds already planted. That was as of Sunday. You need more food news? Well, you can get it anytime you want it. Pop on over to MidwestFarmReport.com. You can sign up for our daily e-newsletter there as well. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely today. There could be some locally heavy rainfall amounts of a half inch or more. Our high in the low to mid 60s today. Tonight we'll drop into the mid 40s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 57.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin. It is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided. We've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and makes great cookies and probably has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome back comedian-singer Rob Perivonian, and Milwaukee-based actor Rob Martin and I talk about our favorite movie gangsters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
A quick reminder that the Scani Summer Text to Win contest is going on right now, and this hour's keyword is WAVE, W-A-V-E, WAVE, and the prize this hour is for $100. And so if you want to be part of the Scani Summer Text to Win contest, the folks statewide are texting in the word WAVE through the Civic Media app, and one drawing will be made this hour for the $100 cash, but everybody who enters is part of the drawing for the grand prizes, a Wisconsin Dells area vacation at the Ringling House Bed and Breakfast in Baraboo, or the Door County White Lace Inn, some gas money to get you there as well. And again, this will be done throughout the course of the day, different keywords each time, 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 4 p.m., and you have until the end of this hour to send this hour's keyword, which is WAVE, W-A-V-E. All right, June Dairy Month. We're in day three of it right now, and so it's a great time to talk to dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser up in Lincoln County and Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. We're having a few connection issues with Mr. Breitenmoser here. We will attempt to say hi to him in just a moment, but let me start with Sheila first. Good morning, Sheila. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for inviting us on the show today.
You bet. So nice to have you here again. As always, there's always so much going on. And we're also, for folks going, are you just going to talk dairy breakfast? No, we actually have some serious legislative matters to talk about while we're visiting here as well. But Sheila, from an agricultural tourism standpoint, can you explain the significance of June Dairy Month and what it means in terms of attracting people to see the places that they just think milk and dairy products magically appear on their grocery store shelves? It's so much more than that.
Absolutely. You know, agricultural tourism is where agriculture meets tourism, and it's really popular amongst tourists and travelers because they want authentic experiences on working farms. Nothing is more authentic than having breakfast on a working dairy farm. Wisconsin agriculture is so important to our state. Our dairy farmers of Wisconsin are so critical in the delicious dairy food that we enjoy daily, whether it's fresh milk, cheese curds, ice cream, yogurt, you know, all of the special dairy treats that we have become. It's our staple here in Wisconsin, but other folks around other states want to come to Wisconsin to experience our tremendous dairy products.
Yes, so, and it's worthwhile to note that folks go, oh, are we just going to be drinking a lot of milk? No, all the products that you mentioned are there, as well as a good breakfast. In many of these places, there are more than five dozen dairy breakfast opportunities. We'll talk about some of those in a bit. Hans, let's check our connection with you. Are you hearing me okay? And if so, tell me about the importance of dairy breakfasts up closer to you. Oh, there we go. Let me try this connection with Hans again. Hans, are you hearing me? Nope, apparently not. So
I'm oh, picking yeah. up the occasional garbled word, guys.
Oh, okay. Tell you what, Hans, we'll call it good for this week. We'll work on getting a better connection line established in the new Madison studio, and we will catch up with you next week. And we'll talk to Sheila a bit more about the dairy breakfast things here. So, All right. Thanks, Hans. Have a great day. We'll talk to you a little later. Sheila, you, as we were getting into the food, but there's so much more than the food. If people come to these dairy breakfast events, they're going to learn about, as you put it, cow comfort and, you know, dietitians and barn designs and how milking is done. This is not just about a good meal. It's all kinds of educational opportunities as well.
Yes, it's very much educational how our dairy industry today works. All of the advanced technology that our farmers are using to ensure that their cows are very comfortable. When cows are comfortable, they produce more. And, you know, that is the farmer's biggest investment is their animals, and they take such good care of their animals. So these dairy breakfast on the farm, and if you go to wisconsindairy.org, in case you miss any of the dairy breakfast we talk about today, check out wisconsindairy.org, and you can see 62 different dairy celebrations, dairy breakfast on the farm. So Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association is asking our listeners to do the summer 4-4-8 challenge. Try to attend 4 dairy breakfast, 4 county fairs, and 8 agricultural tourism destinations during summer of 2025, which we call the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Staycation. So at these dairy breakfasts, there are always family-friendly events and kids' events. But we talk about the industry of the cow comfort for the farms and for the animals. So cows actually have bedding. Some use sand bedding. Some have like a water bed. Do you remember the water bed?
Back in the
70s and 80s, right? So they want to have the cows to have the uniform comfort to support their bodies. And, you know, it's very important. We talked about these girls being the farmer's big investment, but they feed them so well. And they have a total mixed ration, which I explain to people that aren't farmers, it's kind of like granola. It's important ingredients that the cows need, including hay, corn, soybeans, fat, vitamins, and minerals. So that they have special dietitians that help those cows get the nutrients that they need, total mixed rations, so that not only are they comfortable, but they are fed well.
I think this is exactly the kind of thing that if we manage to get Hans on the phone, he could probably attest to. Hans, do we have a better line with you now on the phone? Hans, are you there? I see Hans is up on the phone board, but unfortunately we're just not getting him patched through where we can catch him on StreamYard. Let me try one more time here. Hans, I'm going to try one last time. Are you there now?
I am here.
Hey, there you are. Okay. I'm hearing you one way or the other. So if you're hearing me okay, let's pick up where Sheila left off and talk about, you know, the formulated rations to make sure that, I mean, cows probably use a nutritionist more than a lot of people do.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If I would take as good a care of myself and my nutrition as I do of my cows, I'd probably be 7 feet tall and bulletproof. And yeah, but I do not have my own nutritionist. But by God, I've got a couple of them working for, not directly for me, but through feed companies that help us figure out the diets for the cows. So all the ingredients that we put up. Like, for example, yesterday we chopped first crop. In fact, we got done last night at 11:30, but we got it all in before the rain. So that feed is getting stored, getting packed here today and covered up. And then that feed will be tested by the nutritionist to see kind of what its value is as far as digestibility and protein and all the things. And then with that, the nutritionist will build a diet, including that first crop haylage and corn silage and mineral and all sorts of other things. So the nutritionists are a really big deal.
So then when it comes to the milking parlors, you know, Sheila's notes here remind us that we've come a long way since the bucket and stool, and that, you know, milking parlors are all about, you know, increased efficiency and, you know, less time is spent milking, so you can do more cows throughout the course of each milking. I can only imagine what you would say about the changes that you've seen over the years.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, I'm old enough to remember the buckets and the step saver and so forth and the stanchion barns and that. So it's definitely a human being efficiency thing, but it's also kind of a cow comfort thing because we want to make sure that the cows are spending their days eating, drinking, laying down, doing all the things. We don't want this, you know, them to spend all their time in the milking parlor, in the holding area, waiting to be milked. And we want to make sure that the parlors are ergonomically comfortable for the cows and for the people who are milking them. So these are all considerations that we have, and that over the course of time, you know, equipment has evolved and technology keeps going on. So yeah, just it's all about making sure those cows are comfortable and the people who milk them can do a good job safely.
And Sheila, I imagine as well, it has to be one of the most exciting things for kids that are on the farm tour that have never seen a milking parlor to see exactly how this gets done. And all the more so with all the more robotic technology has to make it just a show for kids and adults as well.
I think it's really important, especially for our more mature audience that might have been on the farm with the buckets and the stanchions, to see the advancement in the technology with the freestanding barns and the rotary parlors. And so there's quite a few farms that offer daily tours. Sassy Cow Creamery out of Columbus, outside of Madison, has tours. Pagels Ponderosa out by Kewaunee in Green Bay. That's the largest private dairy farm in Wisconsin. And then Hinchley's Dairy Farm out of Dane County, who's also hosting a dairy breakfast June 14th, offers tours of their operation. And all you have to do is register online and bring the family and get a behind the scenes tour. But what's so nice about these 62 various dairy breakfasts throughout the state is that not only do you get a scrumptious breakfast, you get the opportunity to tour the dairy barn where the cows are being milked and learn about the farm operation.
We're talking to Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association and Lincoln County dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser. Sheila, I've got just over a minute until break, so it's not enough time as you would like to answer the full question. But on the topic of wedding barns and the overhaul of liquor regulations last session, there's been talk about making sure that these farm venues are treated more fairly. Do you have a quick update as to whether that legislation is under consideration, making any progress, or is it still very much on a to-do list?
Well, there is an LRB that has been drafted, and we're looking for our Republican elected officials to sign on and support this bill that will give reprieve to the private agricultural event venues on working farms.
All right. And again, when she says LRB, that's the Legislative Reference Bureau, meaning they've written the bill. There is a bill. It needs to be introduced, sponsored, given a bill number. Then it goes to committee and enables, again, people to testify about these wedding barns, or, you know, some talk about pizza barns, other venues, and to make sure that the rules regarding, you know, beer and wine sales are fair to everybody involved, not just the bars and the restaurants and the distributors, the distillers, the brewers, but to these small businesses as well that are essential for parts of agricultural tourism. Civic Media's political editor Dan Schaefer is coming up in our next hour, along with, let's see, who's it going to be? Oh, it's going to be Chad Holmes, of course, because it's Tuesday from 98.9 WXCO, all part of our mornings powered by Up North News here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Wrightlow.
as Wisconsin has a fish fry on a Friday night. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We recently reported on county supervisors in Shasta County, California, still clinging to debunked 2020 election fraud claims by President Trump and his allies. May 29th, a Colorado man was sentenced to 3 years in prison for threats he made to top Colorado and Arizona election officials, fueled by those same claims. Teek Ty Brockbank of Cortez, Colorado, pleaded guilty in federal district court last fall for threatening to, quote, hang by the neck Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold and former Arizona Secretary of State and now Governor Katie Hobbs. He also threatened a judge presiding in a separate DUI case and threatened to shoot federal agents if they stepped on his property. Brockbank asked for leniency during the sentencing, blaming consumption of alcohol and online conspiracy theories for his actions, according to the Associated Press. The Brennan Center for Justice found in a 2024 survey that 38% of election officials have been subjected to threats. A Princeton University Bridging Divides tracker found 90 threats to election workers last year alone. Meanwhile, the Department of Justice Division, which prosecuted Brockbank, the Public Integrity Division, has largely been dismantled under Trump's Ending the Weaponization of the Federal Government executive order. The division has been reduced from 30 lawyers to only 5 under Attorney General Pam Bondi. We have the DOJ's details of the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
All right, tomorrow morning on the program, we will have Earl Ingram visiting with us, along with Melissa Kay from our station in Wisconsin Rapids. James Kelly from the Civic Media Newsroom in Chippewa Falls, Todd Alba, Melissa Baldoff will have our climate check. As always, a very busy Wednesday mornings here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Again, Brewers at Cincinnati, game 2 of the series. Coverage begins at 5:35 on some of these Civic Media Radio Network stations. Hans Breitenmoser joins us by phone. Sheila Everhart is here from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. We've been talking primarily about June Dairy Month, but before we went to break, we just wanted to touch on briefly, again, the overhaul of liquor regulations in the state and how that ended up really impacting, you know, event barns and really, I guess, Sheila, how would you describe the biggest harm that's done, that they can't sell at these events or they can't even schedule the events? What is the biggest harm under the current law?
The way the law was written, and it will be go into effect January 1st of 2026. Currently, our agricultural event venues, who many have been operating for 30, 20, 15 years with no incidents across the state of Wisconsin. It says private party invitation only events like a wedding do not need an alcohol license. The farmer does not sell alcohol. The brides and grooms buy the alcohol through a licensed retailer through the three-tier system, and they have an open bar, and they gift the beverage to their guests who attend the weddings. Okay? So once again, happening, Wisconsin's been a state for since 1848. Wisconsin farm weddings are a tradition. So then in 2023, legislation was enacted, Act 73, which now effective January 1st of 2026, it says private party invitation only agricultural event venues are limited to hosting 6 events per year on their farm. Mm-hmm. And they can only have their guests be served or consumed beer and wine. Okay.
And just the 6 events is what they would be allowed right now.
The 6 events per year. So, you know, agricultural tourism and the agriculturally fed venues are seasonal, temporary, permitted uses on a working farm. So generally, they are operational. Farm weddings are mid-May through October, right? So farmers have that window to offer a wedding. Usually they offer 1 wedding a weekend, right? Mm-hmm. So on average, a farm, a seasonal farm would offer maybe 20, 30 weddings a year. Again, it's a revenue stream for these working farms.
Yeah, and so there's a proposal that would increase that limit from 6 to maybe up to upwards of 36 events, and again, not run afoul of state law regarding this. And Hans, to you, we've talked a bit about, well, we've talked quite a bit about farmer diversification, that this is one of the many ways that farms in Wisconsin seek additional revenue streams, which shouldn't be that alien. I mean, it's something that, I mean, I don't know a small business that isn't looking for other ways to bring in different revenue streams, and all farmers are asking for is, you know, a fair shake from the legislature.
Yeah, I don't think this is unreasonable. I mean, you know, back in the day, Pat, we, you know, farms were more diversified by nature. Every farm had some pigs. Every farm had some dairy cows. In our area, and certainly south of me in Marathon County, every farm had a quarter acre ginseng. The diversification was sort of baked into the cake, but things got specialized over the course of time for various reasons and so on. And, you know, we've become these commodity producers. So if I feel like anything that helps us get back to that model where there's more diversification, I think is a good thing. And so now the diversification nowadays might look a little different where we have to be in the entertainment business and not just in production ag. And if that's what some people want to do, I think that's a wonderful thing. And the other thing that's important in all this is just sort of the historical aspect of it. You know, when I was a kid, there were so many bank barns still standing, right? These old barns that were built in the late 1800s, early 1900s, stone foundations. The stones were the stones that were picked to clear the land to begin with, and the barn beams were the trees that were harvested and so forth. There's lots of history there, and in order to you know, keep these barns alive, they have to have a use, because it costs a lot of money to put a new roof on a great big old barn like that. So they have to generate some income, otherwise you get more of the rural blight that we've seen for the past number of decades.
Without a doubt. And so if you wanted to learn more about this issue or any of the many things happening with dairy breakfasts around the state, Sheila, what's the best way for folks to learn more about the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association?
WIAtourism.com. WIAtourism.com. You know, we are just trying to preserve family farms. We're trying to keep the family on the farm for the next generation. We're trying to allow the farmer to have a viable revenue stream to supplement the farm income when commodity prices are low.
Yes. And so again, go learn more at WIAgTourism.com. I was just getting that up on the screen here for our social media viewers as well. And so again, so many events to see and legislation to follow, and Sheila Everhart takes care of that for us. Sheila, thank you so much. Great to catch up with you. Hans Breitenmoser, thank you for getting up early after staying up late, getting that first crop of hay off. Hope things continue to go well. We'll talk to you both a little later on.
Thanks, Pat.
You bet. Right. Thanks a lot, Pat.
Thank you very much. All right, coming up in our next hour, we will be talking to Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO about stories he's following in the Wausau area, including spring high school sports. And Civic Media political editor Dan Schaefer will be along as well from the recombobulation area. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, I'm Pat Kreitlow, and you are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Much more after the 8 o'clock news.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. 45-year-old Mohammed Salomon faces dozens of charges in the Boulder, Colorado firebomb attacks that left 12 people injured, including two who are still in critical condition. ABC's Mola Lenghi is in Boulder with more on who Salomon is.
He was born in Egypt and lived in Kuwait for 17 years before moving to Colorado Springs 3 years ago with his wife and five kids. According to authorities, he confessed he had been planning the attack for a year and was waiting until after his daughter graduated. Now, the FBI processing evidence seized from his home.
Law enforcement in New Orleans working to verify that video of Antoine Massey, if it's actually him. Massey's one of two escaped inmates still on the run from New Orleans. He claims that video was unjustly jailed and that he didn't break out of jail. He was let out. Convicted killer Grant Hardin's also still on the run. Police say he donned a makeshift guard's uniform and walked out of an Arkansas prison 9 days ago. Police think he's hiding in the Ozarks. This is ABC News.
Local.